The Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple sticks so that I may go home and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it." "So that I may go home and do and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord of God, the Lord the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jar of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Here ends the reading.
Anybody? Yes. Good job. Man, I was getting so excited about this. I got people scared or something. Yeah.
Here they come.
Here they come. Yay! Brighton is here. Good morning. I want to show you a picture first on the screen that Dean helped me get. He's working on it. That is a crazy looking picture. That's a pretty old looking picture. But it's kind of representing the story that Pastor Zach is going to talk about today. And I want to talk about it today too. I want to talk about things that are not hidden from our hearts. So in the picture we're looking at, hi Dawson, the picture we're looking at, who do you think the guy in white is? Jesus. It might be easier to look up this way too. Who I want to talk about is the lady there in the front. She's a widow. Do you know what a widow is? It's kind of a funny word, isn't it? That's kind of cool, but that's not quite right. Did you hear what he said? People who get water for people who are passing out. No, but that, I don't know what that's called, but that is a really important job. A widow is a lady whose husband has died. And when Jesus was alive, that was kind of important because the guys did all the work. They took care of everybody. And the lady stayed at home and cooked and cleaned and took care of the kids. So if your husband was not there, things were pretty desperate. The temple, which is where this is kind of taken place, was a place of safety and refuge that people could go and they could ask for prayers and they could talk to the people in the temple and they might be able to even get help or might be able to find somebody that could help take care of them. The people would come to the temple and drop in money. For those of you that know the story, they would bring money. Sometimes to show how much the temple meant to them. Sometimes they brought money, I think, just to see how important they were. In the story today, a rich man came into the temple with a big bag of money. And money back then wasn't paper. It was coins, kind of like quarters and nickels and dimes. And when he dropped the money into that container where she is right now, the Bible tells us there made a lot of noise. Clang, 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 clang. He was very happy to hear his money roll around. kind of made him happy, kind of smiling. He felt important. The Bible tells us that the widow came into the temple, and she dropped in 2 coins that barely made a sound. They're called mites, M-I-T-E-S. That's the name of the coins that she had. Kind of like our pennies, but our pennies are worth a lot more than mites are. So she didn't have very much money to put in that container. Now, the story sounds like kind of a silly story. Like, why is Kathy telling us this story? The important part of the story is who was paying attention in the temple of who gave the money. The rich man, who gave a lot of money, thought he was pretty impressive. The widow gave 2 mites. Jesus was watching this happen. He was paying attention on who gave what. And he didn't care what was given. He cared about our hearts on why we gave what we did. Kind of like at Christmas time. When you guys get presents, do you ever get kind of excited that you're giving somebody a present? That's kind of how Jesus felt, I think. He was excited in their hearts that they wanted to give for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. And the rich man probably had a lot more to give, but he was just giving because he wanted to be important. The widow gave all that she had because she wanted Jesus in the temple to take care of her. I think she wanted to people to know that that was important to her, that she gives that. So the story is, nothing is ever hidden from Jesus. He knows inside our hearts all the time. So even if we act nice and we don't feel nice on the inside, he knows that. If we want to give a lot of really cool things so that our name is really important and people remember who we are, I don't think Jesus likes that very much. I think he wants us to give from the heart because it's right. And it's because we want to take care of people. So I want us all to remember that Jesus is always with us and he's paying attention to us. So we want to make sure our hearts are right, that we're doing the right thing at the right time so we can be just like the widow. Okay? All right. Shall we do an echo prayer together? Are you ready? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. And no matter what happens, thank you for keeping us safe and helping our hearts to do what's right. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Proceed now with the New Testament reading, and it comes from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Here ends the reading.
The gospel reading is from the book of Mark,
chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Here ends the reading.
You may be seated. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say thanks be to God. Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem. He's now at the center of all Jewish religious life in his day. The rebuilt temple, in all of its grandeur, in all of its largeness, in all of its ostentatiousness, there's a lot to look at. It's a sight to behold. Many people from around the region come in pilgrimage. Many families who have given their money and their time and their resources to make that pilgrimage come. And it's an arduous journey, and many of them do not even make it all together. There are many widows who find themselves kind of stuck in Jerusalem, away from their homes. And since they're widows, they look to someone else to help take care of them, because in that society, the widows and the women needed to have a roof over their heads, and they needed to have some sort of a tie to someone who was a landowner, and the people that owned the land generally were men. So the widows were dependent, but the church, the synagogues and the temple, they were charged to care for the widow and the orphan, and to be hospitable to the sojourner. We were reciting that in the psalm today, in our call to worship, that God lifts up the widow and the orphan. And here we are. Jesus has come into Jerusalem. You remember Palm Sunday? He came in. It's kind of a royal procession. He comes in on this humble donkey. It's a big party. They're waving their palm branches. He comes in. And then after he comes in, he goes to the temple. And he kind of looks around. There's a lot to see. But he doesn't hang around very long, and kind of turns around and goes on his way. And then the next day he comes back, and there's all sorts of challenges. There's all sorts of attention. People are lying in wait. People have heard that Jesus is coming, and they want to test his mettle, and they want to throw obstacles in his way and see how he handles them. From the Pharisees, who were very legalistic, to the Sadducees, who were the political movers and shakers, who didn't even believe in the resurrection, but yet they were challenging Jesus about the resurrection. And the scribes, the legal experts, the know-it-alls. And the Pharisees were challenging Jesus. They were challenging him about paying taxes. They were bringing in the politics. But Jesus didn't balk at the challenge. And then there was a scribe who challenged Jesus and was also curious. And we learned last week what the greatest commandment was. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And what did we learn last week? That this love is more important than all of the combined efforts of all the sacrifices and all the doings and all of the ministries in the temple or the synagogue. As Kathy taught us today, it's God who sees our hearts. sees beyond our actions, but into our being. Because he created us in his image to be human beings, not just human doings. And now we have in chapter 12, verse 38. As he was teaching, he said, "Watch out for the legal experts. They like to walk around in long robes. They want to be greeted with honor in the markets. They long for places of honor in the synagogues and at banquets. And they are the ones who cheat widows out of their homes. And to show off, they say long prayers. They will be judged most harshly." Or as the NRSV says, "They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers." They're focused on the external. They're focused on all of the doings. It's a lot of maintenance for this temple. There's a lot going on. And all of this glitz and glamour of all these things that are made of gold and all these things that are set apart. And they're caught up in what they're doing for God. And they forget what God wants to do through them and in them. They've forgotten how to be good news to the poor. And here Jesus sees a blatant example of the hypocrisy in the temple. In verse 41, it says, "Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. And many people put in large sums." Can you imagine these huge bags of gold or silver or brass coins that might have people brought? And they kind of come in, it's like jingle, 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 you know? And then they drop it off, and it's like everyone can see you when you put in all this money. And yet here comes this inconspicuous, poor widow. She came out. She didn't have a big bag. She might have been clutching them in her hands, not making a sound. And she comes in, and she's probably got a cane. She pulls off her cloak, and she gingerly puts in one, two. Two mites, or two leptons. Together, they were maybe a penny. And Jesus looks at her, and in a moment of clarity, it's like, she gets it. "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more in than all those who are contributed, or than are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance." Out of what they were doing for God. And instead, it says that she, out of her poverty, out of her need, out of her weakness, out of her vulnerability, out of her honesty, out of her unfailing trust in God, even when she didn't know where her next meal might come from, out of her poverty, she has put in everything she had. All she had to live on. Or as the CEB says, "All of them are giving out of their spare change. But she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on." She knew that riches were fleeting, and she wasn't going to put her trust in riches, but that she was going to put her trust in God. And the representation and the presence of God that she knew was in that temple, that was supposed to represent God's presence with Israel. This was the holy place, including the Holy of Holies. And she knew that she had nowhere to go. And God had commanded since the time of Moses to care for the widow and the orphan. So she was surrendering herself to the provision and the love of God. And trusting God, even though perhaps in her mind, or maybe her people around her Maybe they were telling her, you're crazy. They're just going to waste your money and put it into all that gold. Why would you give all that you have when they're just going to hoard it? What have they done for you? And yet, she trusts God. And she's willing to give her all. All that she has. And Jesus sees her all. All of her loving God with all her heart, her soul, her mind, her strength. And in giving those, all that she has, even if it doesn't seem like much, that can still be used to help someone in need. Someone like her. That's probably what she might have been thinking of. Someone else needs this more than me. In ministry, I've gotten to know widows who are very generous and who you don't hear about the great things that they do until after they've passed on. Maybe they've left a legacy to help people. Maybe they started a scholarship. Maybe they've been quietly giving away what they have left from their Social Security check to go feed orphans, or maybe to people who have given to the Cunningham Children's Home. These ladies that pray and they wait patiently for God to answer their prayers. And they wait patiently for someone to come visit them, sometimes for weeks. I felt convicted this week because there's a widow in our church whom I haven't been able to visit as much as I had hoped. And I wake up in the morning and say, oh, I got to go visit them. And then other things come up or I make excuses. So I'm in this boat too. I'm one of the people with the large things that drops all the change in. Look at me. Am I too important to go visit someone who doesn't have a husband anymore, whose kids are probably grown up and gone? How many of you know someone who's a widow? Someone who's in need? Someone who might be still willing to give their all? Maybe right now, they're praying for you, and you don't know it. Sometimes we don't have much to give financially, but we can give of ourselves through our prayers and our presence, just by being with people. That's why last night was such a beautiful thing. When we all gathered together to share a meal, and people from all different walks of life, people from the country and people from town and people from New Windsor and people from Woodhull and people from Alpha come together. And we sit across the table from one another and we share a meal. And we don't ask for donations, but sometimes people are just generous and they give because they see that that helps someone and they want to pass it on. They want to be a blessing to others, whether they're a member of a church or not. See, I think Jesus sees our hearts, as Kathy reminded us. Jesus sees your heart. So are we going to give out of what we can do for God? Or are we going to give because of what God has done and will do and is doing for us and through us to be a blessing to others? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you see our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you desire that we give our all, or my all, or your all. And that we don't have to compare ourselves to one another. Because your love is incomparable. Lord, help us. Help us to remember the widows and the orphans and those who need someone to be present with them in their time of need. And thank you, God, for those who even in their need give their all. Thank you, Lord, for your word, that especially in Mark's gospel, Lord, you can afflict the comfortable. But you comfort the afflicted. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. And may God give you the opportunity to give your all in your weakness. And may God lead us to care for the widow and the orphan as a church. May you go in peace in the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.